Nashville, we have made it. There is real live football across the Cumberland today. Titans and 49ers, preseason game one, 6 o'clock tonight. We can't wait. Four's Company, Saturday mornings here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in studio. Jake Wallman is on the board today doing a great job behind the glass. Guys, we made it. We have finally gotten to real football being played in Nissan Stadium tonight, and I'm so excited.
Off-season depression is no longer. We can now enjoy life and see the pigskin thrown around a little bit.
Brian Callahan says starters are getting a series or two, which kind of it means
real football.
One good series, or you get a second one if the first one's not very good. But we actually get to see the first team-on-team action. We'll get a lot of it next week with those inter-squad practices with the Steelers, so excited for that as well. Well, let's get into our headlines before we get to the Titans here. We're going to talk a lot of Titans here in this Saturday show. Again, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, and Nick Frazier with you. You can get involved as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going to talk about a couple of the big storylines this week with the Titans. Quandre Diggs signing earlier this week. Sadiq Charles retiring. And then we'll preview game one of the preseason between the Titans and Niners tonight. But first, let's get into our headlines here. Connor Newt, why don't you lead us off?
Sure. I'm going to go into the world of wrestling because I called it last week.
Jake, did you hear this?
You weren't here. This was storytelling.
I did not hear this.
Unbelievable.
Go back and listen to it. Roman Reigns has returned to professional wrestling. Sorry, I can't speak today.
It's right? Okay.
The stadium pulse is high.
Stadium pulse is high. but Roman Reigns is back. He's reclaiming his title as the tribal chief, as we would say. The OTC, he's calling himself, original tribal chief. But no Rock, unfortunately. But another one, and this is a good one, because Aura is here. LA Knight is your United States champion. And he's got a new entrance and everything and new music, and that will be coming to Newt's Notes here soon once it drops on Spotify. But yeah, I mean, wrestling is, I mean, it's not technically a sport or whatever.
It's at the pinnacle right now.
It's at an all-time high. Like, this is like late 90s, early 2000s level of entertainment.
I watched wrestling from afar because of the 90s and early 2000s. Wrestling was just like peak for me. It's getting back up there for me.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. So.
It's a new level of, like, I've grown up watching wrestling. I think I was 9 or 10 when I started watching. And it was good for at the time because, I mean, we were all kids and it's violence. We'll just put it that way. But the storytelling, looking back on it, was not there. It is so there now. Like, it's like I have no idea what's going to happen next. In the old Vince McMahon era, you could always tell.
Well, Connor, I think you need to be a writer or a scriptwriter for the WWE.
Should.
Because
speaking of that,
you have to go back and listen to this. Every bit of it was spot on except for The Rock. But like minus that, I was like, holy cow.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that writing stuff, I put a tweet out earlier, and I told you guys this as well. But if you don't follow me on Twitter or whatever, I will announce right now, this season I'm going to be writing for Go Middle, which is under the Rivals umbrella. I'm going to be covering men's and women's basketball for MTSU this year. So Jake is not the only one to talk about women's basketball this year.
Yes, we're going to have some extended women's hoops conversations starting
in
November.
Full two-hour shows of just women's hoops.
Let's go.
But if you're interested in following my work or stuff like that, you hear it in the ad all the time. But for our listeners, I'm at C_Newt15. I'd love for you to give me a follow and
Say it again. For the people in the back.
For the people in the back, it's at C_Newt, N-U-T-E, the number 1-5, all lowercase.
There you go.
There we go. Sorry, that was a really extended headline segment.
No, that's great. And I think, you guys talk wrestling so much. I think homework for me, I've got to watch like a full wrestling event at some point.
Just we'll get you on Monday
like
night.
I still, I've seen clips, and I've, you know, sometimes it'll just be on in the background, but I've never sat down and watched it. So I'm gonna.
We'll take you to Friday Night SmackDown coming to Bridgestone Arena October 5th.
There we go. That's perfect. Nick Frazier, do you have a headline for us this morning?
I do. I'm gonna go to the Diamond. Actually, minor league baseball. Christian Moore, former Vol, hit a homer. I believe a walk-off opposite field homer, and I was kind of baffled. Like, is this Christian Moore already making highlights in the minor leagues? So sure enough, he is. So good for him. That's my highlight there. My other highlight is the LPL Financial Player of the Week, Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week. It is Kyler Garcia, Pearl Cone High School defensive lineman, 2025 senior with a GPA of 3.8. This list of Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week is going to be who had a higher GPA than Dr. Crane Nick Frazier in high school, because 3.8 is pretty darn high. We also have
me.
Some stat, I know, right? Exactly. Hey, stats news here. We also have his junior year, he had 62 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. Is committed to Indiana University, the Hoosiers.
Wow.
So
Cats.
That's pretty big. Pearl Cone always has a good football program. Kind of intrigued to see what they do.
Barry on Brown.
Yeah. We also have, he will be majoring in biochemistry and pre-med.
That's wow.
Another reason why I'm not doing that. Off the field, Garcia volunteers at Amazon with Black Employee Network. He also donates time at organizations such as Backfield in Motion, Creative Girls Rock, and Trap Garden. So congrats to Kyler Garcia being the Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week, and big success this year for football.
Man, really good stuff. Biochemistry, pre-med.
Way to go, Kyler.
Committed to play football for former James Madison head coach Kurt Cignetti over in Indiana.
Yeah.
No, my only issue is we can get you in some blue, but I have connections. Don't worry.
I'll get to my headline here. A texter on the text line does want to point out I accidentally said Steelers instead of Seahawks for the practices next week.
Ah.
I don't know why. Stadium Pulse was really high coming in this morning. Like, me and Connor were both struggling with that off the bat.
We didn't have our coffee this morning.
I'm having it right now, so we're getting there. But thank you for pointing that out. And a good question, too, about some wide receivers. We're going to get to that later on in the show as well. My headline, I'm going to the Olympics. And I've been trying to lock in on the Olympics and really sit down and watch some of the big events. Mm-hmm. I did miss yesterday the men's 4x1. But I went back and watched it last night on the primetime show, and oh my goodness, that team is cursed. It's, what, 20 years now, and it'll be 24 without a medal leading into L.A.?
Was that the Canada one?
Canada won the gold. But, man, I watched the semifinals 2 days ago, and they blew everybody out of the water in the semifinals. But then they made a change. They put Kung Fu Kenny Benarek in the second leg. Just changed everything up when everything went almost perfectly. And I do think it has something to do with Noah Lyles getting COVID. Yeah. He was supposed to be the anchor, and I think that ended up messing everything up. But the handoff, the baton handoff on the first leg to the second leg was so awful, it just took them completely out. 2004 is the last time that the U.S. medaled in the men's 4x1. Just cursed.
That's ridiculous.
And honestly, that could end up being the difference between the U.S. tying and losing to China in the gold medal battle. It's really close right now with only today might be the last day of competition, because I think the closing ceremonies are tomorrow.
They are.
So tomorrow
are the ceremonies.
Lots to sort out still. I believe the women's team plays their gold medal match in soccer today.
Yep.
And obviously men's basketball plays France. And women's basketball plays France as well tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
yes. So, yes, tomorrow would be the last day of competition. But
I believe Serbia tipped off this morning for basketball.
For the bronze medal.
Yeah, I think it was 4 a.m. That's an early start.
Still some chances for the U.S. to get some more gold medals, but that one disappointed me yesterday because U.S. has the talent to win the 4x1 every year, but for some reason they can never put it all together. Jake Wallman, I don't know if I'm catching you off guard. Do you have a headline for us?
I do, actually.
Go ahead.
Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My headline is the U.S. gold medal game in basketball later this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
I said last week, I believe, that I don't think they will gold medal. I think that, but I do believe that they will medal, obviously, now. That was me speaking it into existence last week. And I was on the way in this morning, and I was listening to ESPN Radio, and they were talking about the gold medal game and how that this could be a really, really tough matchup for the U.S. France team knocked off Germany. They had won, the German team had won 13 international matchups in a row, and that a lot could happen with this game. So that's my headline for the week.
Yeah, France just having Wembanyama and Gobert, it's a little bit daunting down in the paint at the very least.
The two towers.
So, but it looks like Kevin Durant's going to get the start for the first time in the Olympics. Drew Holiday heading to the bench. So we'll see how that all sorts itself out. I believe 2:30 tip off Central Time.
And the correct me if I'm wrong, Nick Frazier, the women's soccer kicks off around the same time too.
Yeah, I think so. Like 1:30, maybe 2:30. It's somewhere
around
that number.
We'll have to dual screen it.
Hey, might be a double screen day leading into the Titans 49ers.
Have you watched? Have you watched the Gold Zone?
I've watched a little bit of it. The concept is great.
Yeah. It's like preseason reps for Scott Hansen.
Yes,
that's what this is.
And but you can kind of tell that Scott Hansen and Andrew Siciliano, like, this isn't their thing.
No,
football is their thing.
Yeah,
they're kind of fish out of water a little bit over there, but it's interesting. You get to see a little bit of everything.
He's an American hero. We'll give.
Oh, I love Scott Hansen.
Scott Hansen's a pro.
Yeah,
he's the best.
Red Zone is the savior of football.
I don't know if y'all caught this last week, but Scott Hansen was doing the octo screen on Peacock.
Yeah,
and he said, "Let's head over to gold medal fencing." I was like, "He doesn't know anything about fencing." Like, this is great. It was awesome to hear.
What if he was like really, really insecure about his call, and he has the sword, and he gets him,
got him on the left side near the.
That's my left. You're right. You know.
Well, the good news is he doesn't really have to call anything.
Yeah.
Because like it's like let's head over to John Smith on the call, but like
it is funny to see like the Mike Tirico stuff on NBC, and he's going like full in depth, bouncing around the Olympics, and then you see Scott Hansen, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Mike Tirico is awesome. I don't know if you saw his interview with Simone Biles. I think it was Monday night, Tuesday night.
Yeah.
He was like the conversational ability of Mike Tirico with, you know, maybe one of the greatest athletes ever was just awesome. So go back and find that if you
I
can.
Will.
Olympics have been fun, and a couple big games coming up later today. Again, 2:30-ish, we'll get men's basketball and women's soccer for the U.S. trying to win gold medals. And then Titans 49ers, first preseason game coming up at 6 o'clock. Let's get to our question of the day quickly before we take a break. We're going to give our answers in the 10 o'clock hour. But fantasy football season is almost upon us. Drafts are starting soon. We are less than 4 weeks away from the opener between the Ravens and Chiefs out at Arrowhead Stadium. So let's talk some fantasy sleepers. Who is a guy that you are standing on the table for in your fantasy draft this year? And
love it.
This can be an early round guy, a guy that you say he's going to be the best player in fantasy football. But I'm kind of thinking more, this is a guy who's rounds 5, 6, 7, 8.
That you're jumping.
That you're seeing him show up 15 spots down the rankings, and you're like, I'm going to take him now just to make sure I get
round
it.
Round three.
Who's your guy you're taking a round and a half, two rounds early, because you believe in him so much? We're going to give our answers coming up at 10 o'clock, but we want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. And again, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk Titans news. Quandre Diggs signing with the Titans. How good does this make this Titans secondary if healthy? Big asterisk there. We're going to talk about that coming up next. Force Company here on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Indianapolis. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Cottle Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you this morning. Fours Company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We're talking Titans pretty much all morning long. A little bit of fantasy football, a little bit of college football mixed in there as well. We want to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's start with some news and notes here in this first hour for the Titans this week. Quandre Diggs signing with the Titans, 1 year, $5 million deal. The Titans stealing over the entire back end of the Seahawks secondary this offseason, bringing in Quandre Diggs and Jamal Adams. kind of loads up this Titans secondary. You now have cornerbacks with Legarius Sneed, Jadobe Awuzie, Roger McCreary, and now you've got safeties Amani Hooker, Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Elijah Molden. This secondary, if healthy, could be one of the best that we've seen in Nashville in a long time, maybe one of the best in the entire league this year, but health is a big question mark for almost all of these guys in this secondary heading into the year.
Yeah, health is a big thing. You know, I was looking at the injury reports and just like people that were practicing this past week, and there were a few days where Legarius Sneed, or I think it was Chidobe Awuzie, Jamal Adams, they were all kind of absent from practice, and I'm just thinking, if this is going to be a common thing throughout the season, the Titans have some issues. Like, if the Titans are trying to basically play this off as like, oh, this is going to be our normal regiment with these guys, that's still a concern. Like, you're going to have some young guys like Roger McCreary and Elijah Molden step up to the plate during practice. And like, maybe it's a good thing for the Titans because maybe they do step up in practice and you can rely on those guys when your normal, you know, 9-to-5 type guys that are playing on a Sunday are not practicing throughout the week.
Quandre Diggs is an interesting signing, though. I was out there Wednesday, his first day of practice, and obviously he's not getting the first team snaps because it's his first day. He's kind of on a pitch count. They're kind of trying to sprinkle him in the offense. But he did come out, I believe, on the third team in team practice, and literally his first play on the field, it was a pass to, I believe, Jaquan Jackson. You see Quandre Diggs come all the way from the left side of the backfield all the way to the line of scrimmage in about 2 seconds and take down Jaquan right on the line. So I was like, wow, that was really impressive. Roger McCreary, you mentioned, had needs to step up. I've seen everything I need to see out of Roger McCreary so far. He has been absolutely locked down. And he's going to play more of a slot role this season, I believe, just because of you got Legarius Sneed and Cheeto and stuff like that. But he is, every year I am impressed by him. It seems like he takes a step every year. Last year he was kind of the, okay, how can we see how this sophomore cornerback looks? And he looked pretty solid throughout the season, given the circumstances in the secondary. But this year, I think he's phenomenal. I think he's going to take more steps and more steps. And maybe in a couple years we're having a conversation, is he a top five corner in the league? I don't know. But based on what I'm seeing out of Roger McCreary, he's on that track, in my opinion.
I mean, I agree with you. I think the Titans, by the end of the year, you could have a top three cornerback overall in the league in Legarius Sneed, and you could have a top three nickelback in the league in Roger McCreary. Obviously, Sneed just needs to be out on the field. And I did think it was interesting. Maybe Brian Callahan just thought it was kind of like didn't need to be said that Legarius wasn't playing tonight, but he didn't say that Legarius wasn't playing tonight. He only ruled out Nick Vinette, Jeffrey Simmons, and Harold Landry, I believe, of guys who aren't previously injured.
Right.
So maybe he thought that he was just including Legarius Sneed in that group of DeAndre Hopkins and Chidobe Awuzie, who obviously aren't playing. But we'll see. Maybe the 38 runs out there on the field at some point today. I would doubt it, seriously, but he did not say that Legarius Sneed wasn't going to play.
You think we see 33 out there tonight?
No.
No.
I don't think so either.
Which I'm okay with Adams not practicing too. It's kind of like Legarius Sneed for me, where you kind of want to save those guys' bullets for the live action. But Adams, I'd like to see him practice just a little bit more.
He practiced, I think, 2 days, and then he's been out with cramps, I guess is how you could put it, for like 2 weeks. So I'm like, there's got to be something more to that.
Back to the original point about health of this secondary.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember Brian Callahan saying this when, I think it was probably the first week of Titans training camp, where he mentioned, yeah, if players are not out there, I want them involved on the sideline and so forth. If that's going to be the case as well, it's almost like okay, but not okay, if that makes sense. Because like they're involved and they're consuming the practice, they're consuming it mentally, they're taking those mental reps, but physically, like I get they're veterans. I'm a practice guy. I can't help it. I'm a practice guy. If you don't practice, you don't play.
Oh, I'm with you. Can I ask you about another guy in the secondary?
Yeah.
We kind of hit on this yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road. Caleb Farley out with another hammy, I think.
Yeah, they said hamstring.
For a couple weeks. Do you think that's it? You think he's done?
See, if you're a longtime listener to our program, you know that I am a
Caleb, that's why I asked you.
I am a Caleb Farley stan. I think that might be it.
I think it is too.
I think that might
be it. I think it's
wraps. It stinks for him because you know how hard he works and how much he wants to be out there. But at some point, if you can't be on the field for a game in the last time he was on the field, I believe, was
2 seasons ago?
Early 2022.
Yeah. And he got hurt again.
And he barely even played there. I was in the stadium in Washington when he got toasted by Diami Brown for a touchdown.
What a name. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should just put him at wideout. Slot receiver.
Let's not forget about our caller from earlier in the show. Remember that?
That was early, like the first 3 weeks of this show.
Let's put him at quarterback.
We had a caller call in.
Kick returner.
Let's put him at slot receiver. I was like, I could see it. We were talking about position changes, maybe putting him at safety. I was like, I could see him at safety. I don't know about slot receiver.
In college football 25, that might have worked.
But oh, yeah.
Just,
recruit an athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, since he was drafted, so he had the back issues coming out, but still played his rookie year until he tore his ACL against Buffalo, another game I was in the stadium for.
So what I'm getting here is you're a curse.
That's one of the best. They won both of those games.
You're a curse to Caleb Farley's career.
Maybe I am. Although I was in the stadium a lot of the games where he was balling at Virginia Tech too. Yeah. So
can cancel those out.
But the Titans did win both those games. Both thrillers, by the way. The Buffalo Monday night game was when Simmons stuffed Allen on the 4th and inches.
Yeah.
And then the Commanders game 2 years ago was when Wentz got picked off by David Long at the goal line with like 5 seconds left.
Oh, yeah.
So both of those games were really fun to be in the building for. But yes, Caleb Farley did not have good nights either of those times.
That Buffalo game, was that on the goal line?
Yes, they ruled Allen out of bounds just shy on third down. They were down 3, and instead of running out the field goal unit, they tried to sneak it. And
was that the Monday night football game?
Yeah,
on a Tuesday.
That was when it was a Monday night. Everyone said Allen slipped the next day, but it was Simmons shoving the center back into his lap. That was a really fun one. Anyway, yes, Caleb Farley. He played, 6 games his rookie year. Then 2022, he had the back injury. He missed all of last year.
I feel so bad for the kid, though.
If he can't get out there by the end, by the final preseason game against the Saints, I think that's about it. If that is the last time we see Caleb Farley until they make cuts, I just don't see how you can find a spot for him on the team.
I think they're keeping 6 corners. Obviously, Snead, Cheeto, McCreary.
Yep.
Trey Avery is going to be there. The kid out of Louisville.
Jarvis Brownlee.
There's 5.
Who am I missing?
I mean, I just don't.
There's a big one.
Let me look up the unofficial depth chart.
Molden is safety, but he plays some corner, too.
I mean, I think Gabe Judy-Lawley has a chance.
Gabe Judy-Lawley.
Okay.
I could see Gabe Judy on.
So that's your 6.
That's my 6.
Yeah, so right now on the unofficial depth chart, it has Snead and Awuzie and McCreary as the starters. Then behind them, Avery, Brownlee, Garer, Gabe Judy-Lawley, Anthony Kendall, Caleb Farley.
Eric Garer.
I think, honestly, if you had to make the choice right now, knowing the injury to Caleb Farley, would you take Garer, Judy-Lawley, or Farley if you can only take one? I don't think Farley would be in contention to be the top one.
I'm taking Judy-Lawley just because of the youth aspect.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But I think it's a higher ceiling.
But we'll see.
Well, not a higher ceiling. I think Farley, when he's healthy, has a very high ceiling.
It's a lower risk.
Yes. Yeah. So who knows? I'm hoping that the hamstring isn't a month and it's more 2 weeks, and hopefully he can come back in and try and prove himself that final week of training camp and into that final preseason game. But at this point, I just don't. I don't know if it's going to be possible.
I mean,
so.
Stuff I've seen on Twitter about Farley, he's done a pretty good job at camp.
Like, yes, he's looked.
And you've been there.
When he's been out there, yeah.
Has he been locked down majority of the time, or has he just been like...
He's been toasted a few times. I'm not going to lie to you. But to be fair, he's been on Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd and...
But like, that's a good thing, though.
I'll tell you who's been toasting. Treylon Burks.
Really?
Yeah. He's looked great.
Treylon Burks is the camp all-star of all time.
So, no, that's Mason Kinsey.
That's true. So and we'll get to Mason Kinsey coming up later as well.
He's telling me basically that my fantasy sleeper is going to be Treylon Burks. That's kind of what I'm getting.
Should we institute a rule for us that you can't pick a Titans player?
I was going to say, because if you had to hold me to one, I'd go Tajay Spears. But if we're not doing Titans.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I like that.
We'll say no Titans. Texters can still pick Titans.
You can do Titans. We will not do Titans.
We're not going to do Titans. Anyway, this Titans secondary, if they run out of starting five against Chicago, where you're facing DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet, if your starting five is Snead, Awuzie, McCreary, Mamani Hooker, and Quandre Diggs, and you've got guys like Adams and Molden and Brownlee, am I missing anybody? And Avery coming off the bench? I feel really good about that. The issue is, how many of those guys are actually going to be able to be out there for week one against Chicago? That still remains to be seen. I would doubt we see a lot of those guys tonight. I would think we'll see McCreary and Hooker. And that might be it from the starting secondary.
I could see Molden.
You think they wouldn't play like at least one series?
I don't think Snead, maybe, probably not Diggs.
I'm talking about like Hooker, McCreary,
No,
Molden.
That's what I'm saying. I think those guys might be out there for a series. I don't think we're seeing Snead, Diggs, Adams, obviously Awuzie.
Yeah.
I think everybody else probably is fair game.
Yeah. Okay. I think you're right.
We'll see. I don't think the Niners are playing many of their starters, so should be some good reps for them. I think the Niners are pretty banged up at this point, so we will see.
Can't get an off-season recovery.
We will see how it all looks tonight for those first couple of drives while we've got the ones out there. Let's switch over to the offensive side when we come back. A surprise retirement this week as Sadiq Charles decided to end his playing career midway through training camp. So how does the offensive line look now, and do we feel okay about the right side of the line? We'll get to that coming up next here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Talking Tennessee on this Saturday morning.
In parentheses, Titans.
Yes, talking Tennessee Titans. Lil Morgan Wallen for you here on Four's Company. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, and Jake Wallman with you this morning. Again, we've got Titans football coming up in, about 8.5 hours at this point. Taking on the 49ers in the first of three preseason games. Next week, it'll be the Seahawks in town, and they'll have some... I don't know why I'm blanking on the name of those practices. Where...
Joint practices.
I said intra-squad.
Intra-squad.
That's
baseball.
That's baseball.
The
basketball, yes.
Yeah. The intra-squad.
Joint practices. Yeah. Again, the pulses.
It's Saturday.
It's high.
Stadium pulses
just getting me. We're in the number two toughest place to play.
Is that the new inside joke around here?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. Yes, joint practices with the Seahawks coming up next week. Game next week again here in Nashville, and then they'll finish up with the Saints in a couple of weeks. Let's talk some offensive line here as we get set for this opener tonight. Sadiq Charles retired. He was slotted in, at least on the unofficial depth chart, as the starting right guard before his decision to retire. So now you're looking at a front five. J.C. Latham, rookie, left tackle. Peter Skoronski at left guard. Lloyd Cushenberry is the center. And it looks like the right side of the line going to be Dylan Raidens and Nicholas Petitfrere. The Titans just can't get away from those two. They were competing for the right tackle spot 2 years ago, and now it looks like they'll be playing next to each other. How do we feel about that front five?
I feel great about the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The right side, not so much. But I do want to bring this up. Do you think the right guard spot is Dylan Raidens' to lose at this point?
I just don't know who else they put there. And
that's what I'm thinking.
It feels like Brunskill's going to get cut.
Yes. He's a backup center that they moved over from right guard. And I think you're good at center with Lloyd Cushenberry.
And you're saving, $3 million or so if you cut Brunskill? It just feel, who are they going to put there? Andrew Rupchich? Like, God, I feel like Raiden's, the former second round pick, is at least going to get the first shot at it. And if he goes out against Chicago and just gets absolutely destroyed, then we'll change it. But it feels like, barring a disaster, Dylan Raiden's is going to be the starter there week one.
What about John Ajoku? Where do you think he
falls? I guess you could bump him in.
Yeah.
Because he's been playing mostly tackle, right? Yeah. So you could bump him in. It feels like that right side of the line, it's going to be Raiden's and NPF. And then break glass for emergency. You've got Ajoku and Jalen Duncan and Andrew Rupchich and
whoever I guess else you just got to.
You're really
Will Levis.
Hoping and clinging on to the fact that these.
Caleb Farley.
Caleb Farley, right guard.
Taylor Lewan comes out of retirement.
Yeah.
What are the odds that Brunskill is cut, but he's a practice squad guy?
Zero.
I don't think he'd do that.
No. Zero.
Yeah, I mean, somebody, if they're going to cut him, they're going to cut him outright, I feel like.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if the 49ers just brought him back to be just a depth piece for them.
Yeah. Well, he's a Ran guy, I feel like, too. So that kind of might
He is a Ran
in.
Guy.
But that being said, I don't know where he fits on this team, to be honest with you.
It is just, it's funny to look at this draft, or this offensive line, and say, hey, you've used five day one and two picks on an offensive lineman in the last five drafts. Four of them are going to be starting in the on your offensive line to start the year. You'd feel pretty good about that, right? If somebody told you 5 years ago, hey, you're going to use five picks on offensive lines in offensive linemen in rounds one, two, and three, and four of them are going to be starting in 2024. You'd be like, oh, that sounds pretty good. Only one of them isn't still a starting offensive lineman. But we still have no idea about Raiden's and NPF 3 and 4 years after they got drafted.
And to that point, just kind of look to the future. Like, I know you want to try to get as much out of them, but like, you kind of have to move on.
And I just think it is draft position that's getting them the first go at it. It's like, all right, we used a second-round pick on Raiden's and a third-round pick on NPF. Let's give them a shot before we throw the undrafted free agents in there.
Honestly, I'd rather throw the undrafted free agents. I know that sounds crazy, but just throw the undrafted free agents because you're going to get probably the same quality. I mean, I think it was Tim Hasselbeck or somebody earlier. Oh, no, I think it was Jonathan Hunt. Yes, it was Jonathan Hunt earlier this week. He said Nicholas Petit-Ferre is just an average offensive lineman. He's the average guy that you have in the NFL. An average guy is an undrafted free agent to me. Why not put him in there?
Is that okay for if Nicholas Petit-Ferre and Dylan Raiden's are the most average offensive linemen this year? Do you feel good about that? Because honestly, if they are middle of the pack, I think that's okay. I would sign up.
I mean, it's the right side, and Levis throws from the right side. So
I would sign up for being average on the right side of the line this year.
I would, as long as it's not just obscenely awful like it was last year.
Listen, if it's not Andre Dillard like on the right side of the line, I think we'll be okay. The Titans will be okay.
Aaron Brewer.
Like, by the way, I think Jared mentioned that he has like a wrist injury.
Yeah, he got hurt
already.
Yeah, I forget what it was. It might have been wrist, but yes, Aaron Brewer got hurt this week.
I got no words for that one.
I hate to invoke his name, but we did see around this time 2 years ago the Titans traded for Dennis Daly.
Mm. No.
No way.
Say his name and he appears.
Do we think there could be a move like that coming where the Titans say, all right, we like this backup tackle on the Dallas Cowboys. We think that he's kind of stuck behind somebody else. Let's throw our sixth round pick to Dallas and bring him in and he can be our starting right tackle. Do you think that's a move the Titans are considering at this point? Or do you think they're good to go with Raiden's and NPF and see if the wheels fall off?
Honestly, I think the Titans are not looking at it like hardcore right now, but it's definitely on their notepad. I think after probably week three, week four, if things are not going well for this team, especially on the offensive line.
I was
going
to say, that's a midseason move. This
could be around week four, week five.
A trade deadline kind of thing.
That too.
Which, it's tough because offensive line is the position right now where there is you're not going to find a starting caliber offensive lineman after camp cuts.
It's premium.
Like, nobody is cutting a guy who is capable of starting at tackle in the NFL. So, yeah, maybe at wide receiver and at corner and at safety, there's a guy who gets cut somewhere else who you're like, all right, well, that's an upgrade for us. That doesn't happen at tackle. Like, you're not going to find somebody better than Nicholas Petit-Frere just walking the streets somewhere. So if you're going to find somebody who can play, you've got to trade something for it, most likely.
I don't want to throw this out there, but I am going to throw it out there. Say if Brandon Ayuk doesn't re-sign with the 49ers, okay, hear me out. Trent Williams is still looking for a nice contract. What if the Titans were to do something of trying to trade for a Trent Williams and do a long-term type deal and move Latham back over
how
right
old is
tackle?
Trent Williams now?
Doesn't matter. That
I think he's in his 15th year.
I would definitely
Trent
trade
Williams
for that.
Trent Williams is 36 years old.
Yeah. That's, and for a tackle, that's really old.
He just turned 36.
That's, I mean,
fine. I mean, I like where your mind's at, though.
I like the idea, but first off, I think it would cost too much to get a 36-year-old tackle. And I don't think the 49ers would do it.
You don't think?
That's a win-now move, too.
The 49ers know that their window...
The Titans go sign Calvin Ridley.
That is true.
Come on. And yeah. Tyler Boyd, this offense has probably the most, I guess, deep wide receiver core, would you say? I'm not trying to say the Titans are trying to win now, but it kind of feels like that a little bit.
I just think
now and also develop at the same time.
The 49ers know that their window is Brock Purdy's rookie deal. They've got two more years where they can still pay Fred Warner and Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and Trent Williams.
And Bosa.
They can still pay all of those guys because they're paying Brock Purdy a nickel per game because he was Mr. Irrelevant. They are not going to trade away the best tackle in football. They're going to figure out a deal for him.
Okay.
I think Ayuk feels like a luxury to them right now. It feels like, hey, if we can get Ayuk back, great. If not,
I think they will.
We still have plenty of weapons, and it does seem like it's trending in the direction of him coming back. I just don't. Trent Williams, they wouldn't make him available, and even if they did, I wouldn't feel good as the Titans sending the type of draft capital it would take to get a 36-year-old Trent Williams.
That's valid. That's valid. I just, I don't know.
But you look at it, if they, let's say somehow it manifests itself and that works out, then you flip Latham back to right tackle and you run out Trent Williams, Peter Skoronski, Lloyd Cushenberry, whoever, and J.C. Latham, that's great. I just don't think that's, I don't think that's realistic for either team at this point, but crazier things have happened.
This is true. This is true. That was my oddball take of the day, so please bear with me. I haven't had any coffee today, but yes, that, I don't know. I want to throw that out there, one, because obviously it probably wouldn't happen, but two, I just think the 49ers window's over. I think it's done. I think they need to start blowing it up.
Real quick, Gunner on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Ayuk was traded to the Browns last night.
I don't believe that's
false
true.
Report. NBC Sports came out and said Brandon Ayuk actually rejected that trade. It was for Amari Cooper and a plethora of picks.
And then Amari Cooper came out and said, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a good trade for the 49ers. You get back a high-level receiver who can play next to Deebo Samuel and Ricky Pearsall, and you get picks back. And Amari Cooper, you're still paying him $20 million, but it's better than the 30-something you're going to have to pay Brandon Ayuk. So we will see how that works itself out. But the Titans, the offensive line, I think that might be one of the biggest things I want to see tonight. Even though they're going against backups, can the offensive line just give Will Levis time to throw?
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to see at least one deep shot to Calvin Ridley on that first drive. Just because Callahan's talked about finding that rhythm with Will Levis, and you want to get him confident and get that connection going. I think one of the first three plays tonight is going to be a deep shot to Calvin Ridley, or at least a designed deep shot to Calvin Ridley. Can that offensive line hold up against backups? That would be a great sign to start, is if they can give him time to set up in the pocket and step up and make a throw.
If not, I'm curious to hear what goes down Monday at 2 p.m. on this station.
Yes.
That will be the very first thing I think of.
We've already gotten some great highlights from Jared Stillman this week. Can imagine what we would get next week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to get to a lot of Titans coming up in hour number two, along with some fantasy football and some college football. But Newt's Notes is coming up next, as it always does at 9:45 here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You hear the music. You know what time it is.
Yeah, you do.
9:45 here on Four's Company. Need some new music once it gets released on Spotify.
Yeah.
But here's Mr. Connor Newt with his Newt's Notes.
The speaker, baby.
The speaker, baby. The megastar. Okay, let me talk to you. Okay, so switching gears here away from the NFL for, 15 minutes during my segment. College football. Colorado yesterday, after practice, Deion Sanders press conference. Interesting, to say the least. I don't really know how to preface this. Let's do this. I want to hear the clip, and I want your raw reactions right here. So, Mr. Wallman, if you would please roll the clip.
Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado. Tyler,
I'm not doing nothing with CBS. Next question.
Joe Rigo, my last
I ain't got nothing to do with you. It's above that. I ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you. Respect for you. I ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe Rigo, my last question.
You. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they did was foul.
Okay. So, for context, CBS, national CBS, ran an article on Deion and Colorado Buffaloes, basically listing currently Deion Sanders as the second worst coach of the Big 12. And projecting Colorado to go 6-6, which is a two-game improvement from last year. So Deion, being Deion, goes after a local reporter in Denver for a CBS affiliate, like we are ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are not actually ESPN. We are ESPN affiliate.
Yeah.
Goes after him and says, I'm not doing anything with CBS. You even hear the reporters say, I'm with Denver, not national ESPN. And Deion's ego is too much to handle the fact that he wasn't listed as an undefeated powerhouse, and he may go on the hot seat, according to CBS. So I have a few problems with this. Number one, that poor reporter has nothing to do with the article that a national CBS reporter wrote. This is a Denver reporter just doing his job. Number two, I think my favorite part is he says, I'm looking you in the eyes like a man. If you watch the video, Deion actually has sunglasses on, so he's not looking him directly.
As he always does.
As he always does.
And they're big sunglasses. They're not in a little small Oakleys. They're big.
Yeah, they're the prime sunglasses. Number three, I mean, it's just ridiculous at this point. When are we going to... where am I going with this? When are we going to stop catering to the ego of Deion Sanders? And Shador Sanders, for that matter. Shador, a couple weeks ago, actually said that Colorado is everyone's Super Bowl at Big 12 Media Days. And I was like, and he went on to say, like, I'm undefeated in the SWAC. I'm like, you're in Power 4 now, buddy. SWAC does not matter.
Eight teams got Super Bowl wins last year.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's massive. It's just, it drives me crazy. The thing that drives me the craziest is that reporter is not CBS. He's CBS affiliate. That would be like if I strolled into SEC Media Days and asked Kirby Smart a question, and he would say, I'm not doing anything with ESPN. I'm like, well, Kirby, I'm not ESPN.
I didn't write the article.
I didn't write the article. So it's just, I don't know if that's Deion being an egomaniac, which is probably true, being dumb, which is probably also true, or I don't know. It's just, I don't understand why we give this team so much hype when it's literally just, Dan Lanning said it best last year. They're fighting for clicks, we're fighting for wins. It's one of my favorite quotes ever now. But it's just, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. It's just driving me crazy.
I got to say, I knew what you were going with, Deion. I had not heard that clip. I heard another clip of him going after another reporter.
Oh, God.
Birthday plans?
Yes, yeah. He was saying, like, why do you hate us so much? And was asking, like, what's good in your life? It's like, do you have anything good in your life? Like, are you passionate about anything? Because why do you come here if you hate doing this, if you hate us so much? Like,
why does he care?
I don't know. And then, of course, you had the Colorado social media team this week, darts only. That was one of the funniest things ever. Like, you're supposed to be the social media college football team. You've got the guys' Twitter handles on the back of their jerseys, and you post a video on Twitter where a coach is, like, yelling at Shedeur Sanders for a terrible pass, and then it just cuts to a touchdown. Just awful. Honestly, 6-6 might be generous for that team.
No, I agree. It's someone on ESPN radio yesterday when I was driving to work was saying, I think it was Chris Canty, actually. He was like, we all know how this story is going to go. They're going to go 5-7, and Deion's going to become the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I was like, I don't know about that.
I mean,
it would fit, I think. Jerry Jones is obviously going to do anything and everything to get media attention on the Cowboys without actually winning. So I don't know, but I think the thing that just drives me the thing that drives me the craziest is that reporter had nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah, I don't know the comments Deion made there. It just, like you mentioned earlier about the Dan Lanning thing, they're playing for clicks and we're playing for wins. It's almost like he's trying to feed that narrative because, say, for instance, let's say Colorado wins their first three games. Let's say game day goes to Colorado or Big Noon kickoff goes to Colorado. Deion's going to go up on that podium and be like, see, we've had XYZ reporters doubt us. They said we were terrible. Like, that's all going to feed into his little...
He's calling out.
Yeah. He's going to feed all up into his storyline. Like, this is a WWE storyline for Deion Sanders. That's what he's doing.
It is.
He is playing the heel. And when he plays the heel, he's going to try to come out of champion.
The thing is, it was fun at first. Last year, you know, Colorado week one beats TCU, coming off a national championship appearance. They start off 4-0, I believe. Yeah. And then it was fun. The whole Deion thing, play my song, it was cool. Then they start losing. And we're like, okay, now we're seeing the real Deion. Then it comes to where guys are hitting the transfer portal and Deion is... And his sons, don't forget his sons, and Travis Hunter too.
Yeah.
Their guys are hitting the portal, basically outing the real Deion, saying he only cared about his kids and his agenda. And Deion would basically reply with, well, you sucked anyway. We didn't want you. So where I'm getting at with this is just Deion is not the generous coach that the media makes him out to be, specifically ESPN. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
ESPN is the one that kind of pilots this ship, but it's just Deion to me is just an ego. I know that's his gimmick or what, if we're going to put it in wrestling terms, that's his gimmick. It's just, I don't understand where all this comes from. You won four games. You finished dead last in the Pac-12 last year. So I'm lost for words here.
I will be rooting for their downfall this year. Nothing personally against Deion or anybody like that, but it's just I'm so tired of people making it out like he's this great coach and that Shedeur is this generational quarterback prospect. They're not. Like, if Shedeur Sanders was a top five NFL level quarterback, he would have at least gotten that team one Pac-12. They lost all their Pac-12 games last year, didn't they not?
I think so. If not, they won one.
I think they won one.
But, like, to Jake's point, though, like, he's right.
He is.
And you've mentioned this multiple times, Jake, about if his name was John Smith, would he really be a top 10 quarterback?
It's like Bronny James. If Bronny James' name was, you know, I don't know, we'll say John Smith.
John Smith, yeah.
Yeah,
would he be drafted? Probably not.
Probably not. Undrafted.
Undrafted.
G League.
G League. If that.
Maybe Euro League. I don't know.
If that. It's just, I think, did they beat Arizona State? Is that who they beat?
I think they did. They were 1-8 in the Pac-12. So I guess their wins were Arizona State, Colorado State, TCU, and Nebraska?
That sounds right. Yes.
They play Nebraska again this year in Lincoln,
and Nebraska's going to be pretty decent this year.
And yeah, they're going to be better.
Dylan Raiola starting at quarterback. I'm excited to see that.
Weren't he at Oklahoma last year or 2 years ago?
Yes.
Wow.
Who?
Dylan Raiola.
No, he's a freshman.
freshman.
He was the one committed to USC.
Yes. Okay.
And then he transferred. Right. I think he was redshirted last year, and then he's transferred over to, or maybe he flipped his commitment or something.
Yeah, flipped his commitment. He was the guy who looks exactly like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Have you seen this stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
He checked in on campus and was like walking to his dorm room, and they posted a picture of it, and I swear you couldn't tell him apart.
Really?
It's you got to find it. It's hilarious. He looks exactly like Mahomes.
I have to give it a look.
Looking at their schedule, like, the Big 12 isn't that tough of a conference.
No.
Like, it's not as tough as the Pac-12 was. You're getting to play Baylor, UCF, Kansas State, Cincinnati, Texas Tech, Arizona. Like, I think
you listed at least three teams I think are winning.
Yeah, there are probably three Colorado wins in there, maybe three losses. They'll probably beat it North Dakota State and Colorado State.
I wouldn't sleep on North Dakota State.
Yeah. No, they've kind of run FCS for a little while.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
that is a team that I would not sleep on at all. They'll give Colorado a game.
They're twins.
He had sunglasses on in the picture, too, so it looked just like Mahomes.
They're twins.
Yeah.
Yes, we have people correcting us. Alex from Nashville on a text line. Rayola committed to Georgia. Andrew Allegret also just texted me that, too.
Okay.
Yes, Georgia.
I knew it was a team with those red.
Yeah, all those red teams.
And then flipped to Nebraska. So the Huskers, Matt Rhule, year two, could be pretty good. And maybe that's like the humbling game like Oregon was last year for Dion in Colorado, because they'll probably win that first game against North Dakota State. Not guaranteed. Again, they're good. But the next week after that, going to Lincoln, I don't think that's going to go very well for Dion and company.
Nah.
We'll see. We will see. They beat them last year, so I guess anything can happen. Thank you for your Newt's Notes, Connor.
You're so welcome.
Another good one.
Before we go.
Yeah.
Nutrition.
Oh, yeah.
Nutrition. Oh, how do we forget? This was a good one today.
Okay, let's hear it.
So my mom made pancakes this morning.
Oh, boy.
I woke up to them. Protein blueberry.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
I'm on like a fitness craze right now.
Okay.
I'm feeling really good. I'm in the gym like 4 to 5 days a week.
Look at you, man.
So I'm kind of riding on I'm cutting down on sugar and, you know, eating more fruit and lots of meat.
Vegetables. There you go. Get your greens in.
Get the greens in. Green beans have been the move lately. And broccoli. Broccoli has been the move lately.
You should put broccoli in the oven. Little olive oil, little pepper, salt. Unbelievable.
Last night we had chicken noodle soup and sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, it was, I want to say it was buffalo chicken, like deli meat.
Ooh.
So threw it on some bread and put some cheese and mustard on it, throw it in the oven for about.
Newt,
Connor's eating good over there.
Dude, I mean, I need
the protein pancakes.
I'm eating
too
good, man. It's no more eating six brownies at Nick Keezer's house.
I'm gonna be honest. I gotta get off my safe haven at Taco Bell. I mean, that's my spot, man. The chicken cantina burrito.
It's
can't
tough.
Go wrong.
It's tough to get away from some of the fast food. It's right there, and it's good. It's good.
It's the only meal I eat every day, unfortunately. So.
Well, there we go. We knocked out Newt's Notes and nutrition all in one segment. Very good stuff from Connor. Talking about Deion Sanders, getting a little aggressive with a couple reporters, I guess, this week.
I bet he doesn't eat protein pancakes.
He's not having those blueberry pancakes on a Saturday.
He's got 3 gallons of Dr. Pepper in his office, I bet.
We're going to talk more college football coming up around 10:15. When we come back, we're going to get back into our question of the day. We want to hear from you. Let's talk about fantasy football. Who's your sleeper? Who's the guy that you're going into drafts, and it doesn't matter where you're picking, you want to go get that guy. Standing on the table for this guy, taking him 2 rounds early. Fantasy football drafts are starting in the next week
or two. Can I make a correction real quick?
Yeah, we had another connection, correction.
My mom texted on my personal text line. She wants to let everyone know it was homemade soup, not canned.
Oh, okay. Homemade soup.
So there we go.
Wow. Even better for nutrition.
Sorry to cut you off.
It's okay.
Please continue your tease.
It's all good. Yes. Fantasy football coming up next. Who are you standing on the table for? We want to hear it. 615-737-1025. We'll give our answer next as well. Here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.